Well, there was this woman, and she had no money, had no food, but she believed in God. And so she decided that she was going to ask the Lord for some bread. So she called out to God and said, "God, would you please give me some bread?" Now, there was a very naughty boy outside her house, and her windows were open, and he could hear her praying this prayer. And so he thought, "I know what I'll do." So he went and bought some bread himself, and he wrapped it up, and he pushed his bread down the chimney. No fire on, and so this bread dropped into the grate, into the fireplace, and she said, "Oh, praise God, he's given me the bread." And this little boy, he put his head through the window and said, "It wasn't God, it was me." And the woman said, "God has provided, even if the devil sent it." Now we're thinking about God providing, because this is what happened for Elijah. And what took place was that Elijah had said that it would not rain until, let's see the first slide, until he said it would rain again. Those are the words on the screen. "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there'll be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except by my word." So what Elijah was saying was, God told him, first of all, that the rain wasn't going to come, and then a time would come in the future when God would speak to him again and he would know to say it's going to start raining again. In fact, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Now, why is this important? Well, the people at this time, they'd stopped believing in the real God, the one that we're worshipping this morning, and they'd started to believe in another God who was called Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal. And the thing about this God was they thought that he was the God of the weather, of the rain. And so if Baal could not make it rain, and Elijah's God could make it rain, therefore he must have been the one who was the true God. And this is what exactly took place. About 3.5 years later, Elijah heard the word. He said to that wicked king Ahab, "It's going to start raining again." And then Elijah started to pray. Now, what I find interesting is this. Even though he knew it was going to start raining again, he knew that it would only start raining if he prayed. You see, sometimes we've got a sense that God wants to do something, maybe in our life or maybe in our church, and we really know that this is what God wants to do. And then we get disappointed because it doesn't happen. And we think, why didn't that happen? Because there's a connection between what God wants to happen and our praying about it. So, for example, I sometimes know what I need to say in church here. Maybe from a passage from the Bible. I think that's what I need to say. But I also know that if I don't pray about it and call out to God, then although the word is true, people won't hear it very clearly in their ears and it won't go into their hearts. So just because God wants to do something, he might tell us that, but we need to do the prayer work. The reason that good things don't happen to our nation is because not enough of God's people ask God to bless this nation that we're living in. Anyway, so Elijah is told to go to a place of safety. Let's see the next slide. Let me tell you about this. This is a place called Tishbe, where Elijah was born. And this is the Dead Sea here, and this is Jordan, if you know what I'm talking about, Jordan, and this is Israel here. And he was told to go to this place, Kerith Ravine, where there was some water that he could drink because he needed to be kept safe. He needed to be provided with water. And God said to him that he was going to feed him with some ravens. Let's see the next slide. And so there's the ravens, and they're, rather than eating all the food themselves, they're getting the food and they're bringing it to Elijah to eat. Now, this is very unusual because ravens, they scavenge. They just get every bit of food that they can get. They keep it to themselves. In fact, one of the words that we now use comes from the word raven. It's ravenous. If you know what ravenous means, something that always wants to get more and more, it comes from this word, raven. Now, Elijah would not be very pleased that ravens had been sent to him, because ravens were very unpopular birds with the other birds, but also, more importantly, in Jewish thinking, they were unclean birds. Let's not worry about whilst they were unclean, but that was the truth of the matter. And so you can imagine Elijah thinking, why didn't you send some nicer birds to feed me rather than those rotten old ravens who are coming to serve me? Thing is, if God has decided to do something in a particular way, our job is to fall into place with that. It said God commanded the ravens to go and feed Elijah, because they would never have done it out of their own hearts. And likewise, sometimes we think, why does God want to do it that way? I prefer to do it this way. And we don't really get close to the way that God wants to do things. He's the one who makes the rules, and our job is to fit in with what he is doing. God doesn't have to ask permission of us. Our job is to understand how he wants to do things. Now, just another little story before we sing another song, and then I'll say a few more words to you. I came across a story this week. This is an amazing story. Some of you will have heard of Martin Luther. Martin Luther lived in the 1500s. And one of the friends of Martin Luther was somebody called Johannes Brentz. And one day Johannes Brentz was listening to God, and God spoke to him. Because at this point in Germany, because that's where they were, the Spanish were attacking them. And Johannes Brentz had a word into his ears, into his heart, which said this: the Spanish are now at Stuttgart, which was quite close to where they were. And you are to go to the upper hill, you'll find an open door, go in and hide yourself under the roof. And so he went to the upper hill. And when he got to the upper hill, he found this open door. And when he went through the open door, he was able to get to a place where he could hide under the roof, because the Spanish were coming to attack that part of the country. But this is the amazing thing. Every day, a hen came and laid two eggs. Then the hen would go away. The next day, the hen came back and laid two eggs. And then went away again. I don't quite know whether he scrambled them or just did what with them. But the thing was, he was able to be sustained because the hen was able to provide for him. Actually, hens don't usually to produce two eggs, do they? You're lucky to get one sometimes. Because God provides for us if we will look to him. So there's two other stories in the chapter in 1 Kings 17. We're thinking about 1 Kings 17 today, all about this man, Elijah. Can we go back to that PowerPoint again? And he'd been by that brook, and the ravens had been feeding him. And then he was told to go to another place. Next slide. So here's another map. Here's Israel. Here's Jordan. And this is called Phoenicia. And here is Zarephath. Zarephath, right at the top there. In a moment or two, I'll tell you what Zarephath actually stands for, because God always uses people and places in his own way. Next slide, please. So he gets there, and here's this woman, and she's got very little to live on. In fact, she's down to her last bit of flour and her last bit of oil. And so Elijah says to her, look, if you'll just go and make some bread now, give me some, and make some for your boy and yourself. If you will do that, then that flour will never run out, and that oil will never dry up. That's a bit amazing if that's true. And so she went and did that. She went and made some bread. She gave it to Elijah and fed herself and the boy. And then the next day, when she got to the flour, she noticed there was some flour there, and there was oil there. And went on and on and on, and every day she had enough to make the bread in order to live. Now, do you think I don't know how big this flower jar was, but let's say it's this big. Do you think God filled up it completely so she could think to herself, oh, look, I've got supply now for the next month? And the oil, do you think he filled the jar of oil up? I don't think so. I think there was only ever enough for one day. And so every day when they used that, the question was, would there be any more for tomorrow? Yes, there was, because God supplied it. More came through every day because God wanted the lady to trust him. Now, all this is very good, and everything was going fine. And then what happened was her son died. And first of all, Elijah was very angry with God because he'd been looking after this woman. He was grateful for this woman, that she'd been looking after him. And then her most precious possession, her boy, dies. She's a widow. She hasn't got a husband. The only way that this woman is going to be kept is by her son working to earn some money. And now her son is dead. So Elijah says to God, why has this happened? Why have you done this? Now, actually, we do sometimes feel angry inside ourselves. And sometimes it's anger towards God. But we don't really get it. We don't say that to him because we think we better be respectful of God. It's right to be respectful of God. But God knows all about us. He knows whether you're angry or whether you're sad. He knows whether you're feeling jealous or whether you're feeling happy. And so it's better to acknowledge how we are feeling before God so that in reality he can do the things that he wants us to do. When this boy died, the first thing that the woman thought was it was her fault. She thought, it's because of my sins that the boy has died. That's what the story says. But actually, it wasn't due to her sins at all. We're like that. When things go wrong in our lives, the first thing that some of us think is, oh, it must be because I've been doing things wrong and God doesn't like it and therefore he's punishing me. I think in the majority of cases that is not true. God is not like that. He's not a God who punishes us in that way. Occasionally, because we've acted and we have sinned and been disobedient to God, it may be that our life circumstances turn out very bad because of that. But in the majority of cases, God is for us rather than against us. Bad things don't happen because we've been doing bad things. Now let me tell you what Zarephath means. Because Zarephath means it's like a furnace. And in this furnace, things are being refined. That's a bit of a hard thing to understand. But when you want to make gold, better gold, you put it in a furnace so that it can be refined. And what Zarephath means is the smelter's furnace. The smelter's furnace. Let's see the next picture. Because what's happening for Elijah here is that he's been taken out of a place of comfort, and once again, he's got to do something difficult for God. And it's like a smelter's furnace. It's like being refined by God. Now, when the Lord wants us to do this sort of thing, when he wants us to get out of the place that's easy into a place that's difficult because he wants to help us and change us, sometimes he'll speak to us and he'll say, this is going to be a hard place. When I went to theological college, Bible college, when I was at the interview, I felt God was saying, you need to come to this particular college. But he was also saying to me, if you come to this college, you're going to find it hard. You're going to find the environment, the sort of people here, hard. It was true. I did. It would have been easier to go to another college. I had another favourite that I wanted to go to, but God said, I want you to go to this college. Because he sometimes wants to get us out of an easy place into a hard place, because in the hard place, he can teach us something. That was the right college for me, because I changed a lot whilst I was there. I went into the smelter's furnace. I went into a place called Zarephath, if you understand what I'm trying to say. And so it was for Elijah. You see, he'd been fed by those ravens. and he was by the brook. He had water every day. And then God took him somewhere else, and now he got into a different situation. He was in a widow, and he was in a part of the world which he didn't like being in. It wasn't Israel. It was Phoenicia. And in Phoenicia, it was the place where somebody called Jezebel lived. And next week, you'll hear all about Jezebel. She was a difficult woman. So he didn't want to go there. But God had told him to go there because it was the smelter's furnace for him. You see, God likes to stretch us. That's why that elastic is there. He likes to stretch us, because when he stretches us, he makes us better people. We respond appropriately in different situations. But we do need to persevere in prayer. When he was praying for that boy that was dead, he had to pray three times. Didn't just pray once and then the boy got better. Three times he had to pray for that boy to get better. And when the rain needed to come, when God had said the rain was coming, it says Elijah went onto Mount Carmel and he put his head between his knees and he prayed that God would send the rain. And then he sent his servant off and said, are there any clouds in the sky? Because you need clouds for rain. And his servant went off and came back and said, there aren't any clouds in the sky. And so Elijah put his head between his knees and he prayed again. And then he said to his servant, is there a cloud in the sky? No, there isn't a cloud in the sky. Seven times he had to do that. And after the seventh time, his servant came back and said, yes, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And God says, good, go and tell Ahab it's going to pour down with rain. And that's what happened. The rain poured out from heaven. Need to persevere. Yet at times, you see, we might have been prayed for five times and it's not gone yet. Go and get more prayer, because it might be the sixth time or the seventh time. There was this man and he was in a bad place and he was trying to get out and he was banging this wall in order to break the wall down. And, you know, he banged it once and it didn't go. He banged it 10 times, it didn't go. 20 times, it wouldn't break through. I think on the 37th time, he was able to break through on the wall. Sometimes we've just got to persevere. We've got to keep persevering. You might have prayed for something a lot of times. I have. I've prayed for some things a lot of times. I've not seen it yet. I think some things I've prayed for hundreds of times. I've not seen it yet. Doesn't mean we shouldn't keep praying and persevering. In a place that's hard, we change as we keep bringing these things to God. I'm sure that he's stretching some of us this morning, and you may well be resisting it. Don't resist it. See what he's trying to do and come into line with what the Lord really wants. Let's just close our eyes then. Thank you, Father, for these people in the Bible that help us to understand more about you. And we want to be in your hands as well, for you to do the things that will please you. For those who are really up against it today, in one way or another, or they need provision in their lives, Father, hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.